I'm always glad to see you guys here in Grace Walk and Sunday School. I just wish that we had a little room or something. You know, I feel so far away from you guys. So now don't take it personally if, one of these days I get mic'd back up and just start spending 5 minutes sitting next to, Linda and then Beverly and just make my rounds with all of you. That way I feel like I'm close to you. Oh, I have to change the subject on that one. Okay. Linda, we're Baptists. I'm so glad that you guys are here. And I want to say, pray for Albert and Judy. They're on the road. They've been on the road. This is the third Sunday. So hopefully we'll get them back next week. Pray for Reese. She's going to be on the road for a month. She's going to take off on us and just travel the world, sight unseen. So, well, I hope she, trust that she'll have a good time. And we always miss you guys when you have to leave. But isn't it such a blessing to be able to do that? And so I'm glad that all of you guys are here this morning. Would you take your Bible and turn over to Exodus chapter 3? Exodus chapter 3, and we are going to start in verse 16, read a couple of verses, and then go to chapter 4 for time's sake. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand." And for time's sake, go down with me to verse number 1 in chapter 4. "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. He put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous or white as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, neither since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Now we've heard messages on this many times from this pulpit. I've heard so many through the years, but you know, sometimes we hear messages and sometimes we read the Word of God, and it just doesn't go many places. It might just sit there. And well, this passage meant something to me this week. For some reason, sometimes passages do that. I think it's when God lays something on your heart. I think when he starts talking to you, a certain passage of Scripture will mean something, and this one meant something to me. Verse number 4, back in chapter 4, says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, this is something that we all know who Moses is. Moses had been given a job to do. The children of Israel had been in captivity 430 years. They were miserable. They were hurting. And they cried out to God, and God provided to them a leader in this man, Moses. Now, Moses had already in chapter 3 has given God two excuses. And in chapter 4, he gives him three more. So that's five excuses or objections that Moses gave to the Lord in spite of the fact that God had given him full assurance that everything was going to be okay. Go back to verse 19 of chapter 3 and look what God tells Moses. Lord says, And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. That if Moses had really taken that to heart, he wouldn't have given those excuses. But let's just say we're like Moses in a lot of times in our life, aren't we? God leads us to do something, and often we just, instead of doing it, we start of thinking of reasons why we shouldn't have to do it or why we can't do it. How often we are that way. How often I am that way. And so the Lord tells us he leads us to do something, or he directs us directly from his word, and we start giving excuses. Now let's look more in depth for just a few minutes about how Moses came to this situation. If you'll remember back in chapter 3, now we didn't read it, but Moses is working for his father-in-law, Jethro. He's a shepherd, and he's working on there, and all of a sudden he enrolled real fast into the Burning Bush Bible Institute. He came upon a burning bush, and it was burning, but it would not consume. Now, at this point in Moses' life, if you read that chapter if you read it slowly, you can begin to see God teaching Moses a few things. And I think one of the things that God was trying to teach Moses at this time in his life was God is sovereign. He can make that bush start burning, and he can make that bush continue to burn and not be consumed. Now, you know, you're out there in the wilderness, and you're doing your job, and you come upon this thing, and you see it burning, but not being consumed, and you walk closer to it, and all of a sudden you hear a voice that says, "Moses, remove your shoes from your own holy ground." And so God was teaching Moses not only that God is sovereign, but that he is holy. And so, and then he starts telling Moses that he understands the plight of his people. Look in chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." So right off the bat, Moses also sees God's compassion. He sees that God is a good God. And then we go down to verse number 10, and we see Moses calling. He says, "Come therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." That was the time he was called. That was the time God pegged him to do a job. Now, I don't know where I would have been at this point. If I'd seen the burning bush and if I'd heard the voice, and I would have liked to have think I could have done something with it. Maybe I would have been worse than Moses. Maybe I would have turned around and ran. I don't know. But nevertheless, in verse number 11, we see Moses' first reaction. "Who am I? Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And the Lord says, "Certainly I'll be with you, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee." And so God starts talking to him about doing this job. And then in verse number 13, Moses gives another objection. He says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Moses is saying, look, if I go do this thing and talk to the children of Israel, who can I say sent me? And the Lord tells him, "Tell them I am that I am sent you." And so we continue in the story, and God promises to Israel what he's going to do, as we read in verses 16 and 17. And then in verse 18, he promises at some point that Moses is going to be listened to by the children of Israel. And he acknowledges Pharaoh's hardness of heart, and he tells them of the results, and he makes every indication. He tells Moses that he's going to bless Israel and bless Moses for trusting him. And then he goes down to number 1, verse number 1 of chapter 4, and Moses says, "Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, and say, Hey, God hadn't even appeared to you." That's excuse number 3. The first is, who am I to do this job? The second one was, what am I going to tell them? Who sent me to do this job? And then he says, they're not going to believe me when I tell them. And so the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." Now, you know God knew what was in his hand, right? That was for Moses' sake. He wanted to admit what he had in his hand was a rod, because it's about to become something else, you know. And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Can you imagine that? Oh, my goodness. I hate snakes. I mean, I don't know why. They've never done anything to me. I grew up in East Tennessee in the mountains, and they were everywhere. And I don't know. I just say, somebody said, what's worse than a box full of snakes? A box that was supposed to be full of snakes. The doctor says to the patient, "Can you describe the snake that bit you?" And the patient says, "Yes, it looked like an angry rope." You got to think about that one a minute. Moses takes this rod, he throws it on the ground like God tells him to, and he becomes a serpent. And the Bible says he flees from the scene. Or at least he steps back in some way. And then the Lord says in verse number 4, the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it and he took it by the tail. And then we come to verse 5, and the reason for all of this was that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto them. And then he goes on even further. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again. And he plucked it out of his bosom, and it was back like it was. It was turned again as his other flesh. And he says in verse 8, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that was the rod turning into a serpent, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign, his hand turning leprous and then whole again. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and put it on the land, and that it will become blood. And then in verse 10, Moses lists his fourth excuse. He says, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't talk. I don't know how to talk in front of people. And I've always been that way. I've got slow speech and I've got slow tongue. And the Lord had a perfect response. Who made your mouth? Who made the dumb or the deaf or the blind to be that way? Isn't it I, the Lord? And so in Moses' fourth excuse, Job once again sees God's sovereignty. Why is it that way? Because God made it that way. We don't understand these things. We have to believe it, and we have to understand that that's what he wants. And so in verse 12, he gets an assurance again. Once again, after this fourth excuse, just go and I'll be with thy mouth and teach you what you will say. And then we go to verse number 13, and he says, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And what he's saying here is, God, just send somebody else. Just somebody else, not me. And verse 14 says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron thy Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. So God is saying, look, Aaron does a good job at this. Now think about this. God has just been angry with Moses, but he almost relents a little bit here and says, okay, well, I got a deal for you. Your brother Aaron speaks well. We'll let him be the spokesman. I'll tell you what to say. And I'll be with you as you say it, and I'll be with Aaron as he repeats it to the people. What a deal. So we've got five times that Moses gives excuses to the Lord. And God ends this portion of the chapter in verse number 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, and wherewith thou shalt do signs. That same rod that turned into the serpent, and then back again to a rod, is your tool. Pick it up and use it to do this job that I have asked you to do. Now I'll ask you the question again. How many times does God lead us? And you just look inside your own heart. How many times does God lead us to do something? Some little something that we need to change. Maybe better attendance, or maybe better reading, or maybe with our finances. In some way, he presses upon our heart to do something, and we start making excuses. Well, I can't do that. That don't make any sense, Georgina. There's no way I can do that. Or we read something in his word, and we get it directly from the word of God. And after we read it, it's almost like, ooh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that because I got this over here. And if God really knew my situation, he would know. I think it's quite often. If we were honest with ourselves, and I'm not going to tell you mine, and I don't want to know yours, it could be something small or it could be something big, but we start making excuses for this. And we don't do what we know we should do. We don't do what God is leading us to do. We don't do what God has impressed upon our heart. We don't do what is the good thing to do. James says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So no matter how little this thing is, if I know it's what I need to do and I don't take care of that, it is what? Sin. And when that happens, he wants us to take it by the tail. He wants to go to the source and get rid of it. He wants us to live a life that's pleasing to him, and whatever it happens to be that hinders our relationship with him is sin. Whatever it is that makes me less attentive to the Word of God, and whatever it is that takes my time in prayer away from him, and whatever it is that distracts me all the time from doing the right thing, it is sin. You know what's so sad? Is our culture, is our Christian culture today, is so filled with the phrase being filled with the Spirit. And unfortunately, most of the time you see this on TV, it's taught about something in a way that's not even scriptural. Being filled with the Spirit is being so controlled by God's Spirit. Being filled with God's Spirit that you want to please him, that you want to do what you read in the Word of God, and you want to do what he leads upon your heart to do. And sometimes the little sins are not so little. Sometimes the little sins are like the toxins that we see are in our environment. If Albert were here, he could tell you. He's a industrial safety teacher and inspector, and he's got all the certifications and all that stuff. He goes into plants. I've got a few customers that I go into their plants, and I have to put these gas masks on in case there's a leak. Because if there's a leak, I'm gone, or I'm critically injured, one of the two. And so those are big, big offenders. If I take this sniff, if I remove my mask in this room and I take this sniff, I fall to the floor and there is no more Dwayne. That's a big, big dangerous thing. But we've found from the past 50 or 60 years that there's a lot of things in life that are not killing us overnight, but over time they cause disease in our body. You know? I mean, they got a whole bunch of things out there. The pesticides that's sprayed on food when the farmer grows it. They tell us that the definition for a toxin in the body is simply anything that's not supposed to be there and that causes a hindrance to the body's systems. Okay? So it don't make you fall over right then, but it works, and it works with other toxins, and it works with pollution, and it works with our bad eating habits. Good night. Just our eating alone. That's toxic right there. So at some point, all these toxins work together, and, oh, you got a cancer. Oh, you had a heart attack. Something's wrong. Well, spiritually speaking, we got big toxins and we got little toxins. And sometimes our little toxins will grow in our life and you know, God leads us to do things and we think, well, I don't think that's for me. And we forget that God's made the bush to burn and to burn without being consumed. We forget that the rod that Moses threw down and became a serpent, and I know these are all miracles that Moses saw. We didn't see them. We read about them, but we forget who God is. We forget his sovereignty. And when he tells us to do things, and when he leads us to do things out of his word, and when we see things that, oh man, I haven't been doing that, or I haven't been thinking that way, or I haven't been, you know, witnessing, I haven't been, praying to the Lord, I haven't been doing this or that, and then we say, but I'm too busy. That's a little spiritual toxin right there. And little spiritual toxins grow and they get put all together, and someday we're so used to giving in that we got spiritual cancer. I don't need to go to church. I can get whatever Brother Chris says on Facebook. I don't need to give to that church. Oh, we got so many big donors down there that my little paycheck, my little tithe don't mean anything. It's okay. God will understand. Toxin. 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 Spiritual toxins, and if we take the path that Moses took, and we have an excuse for everything that God wants us to do, then we'll never experience the success that Moses had, that God gave to him. We got to look at our lives, and we got to look at God's word, and we got to trust that he's sovereign and he knows far better about me than me. He knows far better about you than you. And that's hard because we're proud people. We like to know we're in charge, but he's in charge. And when we have instances where we're not trusting the Lord and we're not believing him, we need to take it by the tail. Get rid of it. What is in my life that is just hindering my walk with the Lord? Well, this thing. Got to take it by the tail. Yeah, but it really don't matter. And if people did know about it, it wouldn't be very much. No. You need to take it by the tail. If it's hindering your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, get rid of it. Is this thing that I watch putting me in a sorry, sour attitude so that I'm more likely to gossip, or I'm more likely to be unsatisfied with what, discontented with what God's given me? Oh, it's funny, but if it hinders our relationship with the Lord, if it takes us down a spiritual path that we shouldn't be on, get rid of it. Take it by the tail and sling it away. You know, I liked, if we talk about this thing symbolically, the very thing that was a serpent was the thing, the rod, the tool that allowed God to give Moses success as he talked to Pharaoh. That's a great thought, because if we do have these little things that are in our life that shouldn't be there, we got the assurance that if we just give those things to the Lord, he'll take them and he'll make them for our good, whatever the outcome. Isn't that great? Would you pray with me?